Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
I pray that you've had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. And I want to let you know we are starting our new sermon series. It is called Imperfections. And for those of you that are here, I know for you online that may be watching this now or later, you're not even going to see this, but we actually have some broken mirrors hanging in the back here. And you can look at these things and really say, you know what? I don't like that. A lot of people don't like imperfections. Now, for some of us, when you hear the word that it's imperfect, it drives you a little crazy. And it's because we want things to look great. We want it to be perfect. And I was going through all these different things that we would look at, and it's the little things that seem to drive us really mad. And so I was thinking about it, and I saw a picture, and it was a picture of 10 pencils in a row, and they looked perfect, except one was turned the opposite way. And you just sit there and you go, why? Why does it look like that? Or, you know, you're looking at a wall that is completely made of red bricks, and you look at this beautiful wall, and it's bright red, but there is one slightly off-colored brick right there in the center. And you sit there and go, ooh, I could just paint that, right? And then it'll just make it perfect again. It's because we want it to look great. We want it to be something that is just perfect, but that is impossible. Because we live in a world that is completely full of imperfections. And more importantly, we live in a world with imperfect people. The truth is, none of us are perfect. We all have our downfalls. We all have something wrong with us. We all miss that mark of perfection. But we need to know that this does not exclude us from being able to serve God and live for Him with our lives. So one of the most common lies that we tell ourselves is that you are damaged beyond use, that you are no good, that you've done too many things wrong. So how could God ever use you? And we just finished up our past sermon series about how all that call themselves followers of Christ, if you say, yes, I am a Christian, we have a mission. And that mission is to reach those who are far from God by telling others about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Then we are to restore our relationships with God by accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, and being made into this new creation. And then we are to replicate in our lives Jesus, to do as Jesus did, to talk the talk, but more importantly, to walk the walk, to do exactly what God has called us to do. But that brings up the next question, because we understand that we've went out there, we've reached, we've restored, and we're replicating. But what happens when I mess up? What if you have sinned against God after this? What if you look at your own sins and you really see these things and you go, wow, these are really awful. How can God use me to change the world in His name? You look at that and go, no, I'm too damaged. I'm too imperfect. Well, that is why we're going to go through this imperfections series. Because throughout this series, we're going to take a look at people in the Bible who were amazing people. They were champions for God. But we're going to look at where they fell short. And as we go through these different people, I want you to look at comparisons of how we are just like these people in the good and the bad. But you know what? Through it all, we need to look how God can do amazing things through you and with you. So today, we're actually going to start out with the very first people. We're going to go all the way to the beginning of Genesis, and we're going to take a look at about Adam and Eve. And some of you may be saying, Adam and Eve, I know this story. And if you do know this story, please, please, please hang with me, because it may come from a different aspect that you're not used to. And if you're saying, I don't know who Adam and Eve is, you know what? I got you. We're right here. We got this. Now, we're not going to be able to go through all of the creation story, because I would have to read through the first three chapters alone of Genesis. But we are going to pull out some key verses about Adam and Eve, and we're going to talk about them. But I'm going to urge you, when you leave here, or if you're online, or whenever you're watching, I want you to read Genesis 1 through 3 on your own. Completely take the time to read those first three chapters, what's going on, what's being said. So we're going to go ahead and start, though, with Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. I tried opening my Bible, and it just went to, like, page 13, and it's really far in. So very beginning, page 1, Genesis 1, 26 through 31, From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you want to follow along in the Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows there, or there's a stack in the back for anyone who needs one. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to have. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. So we're going to go ahead and read Genesis 1, 26 through 31 in its entirety and talk about what's being said. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that He made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So we start off reading that mankind was made in the image of God. It says, our likeness, and that's meaning God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that in our sermon series in the Trinity. So if you're not understanding what the word Trinity means, we went through everything that is. So it's who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what roles that they play. And you can go and check it out on our sermon series page if you haven't heard that and understand what's going on. So we're not going to dive into Trinity today. That's something we did a while ago. So go ahead and check out those sermons there. But it says that these humans were going to be made in God's image, in His likeness. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to love. We have this ability to think and create and to be different from everything else in creation. And that obviously still holds true today. Our species is one of a kind. There is nothing out there that thinks, creates, and feels emotions and love like we do. So after we were created, God said that we are to rule over this earth, that we are in charge of everything that He has created here. And then God gave us food to sustain ourselves and all the animals. It was awesome. It literally says, and when He was done, it was awesome. It was very good. Verse 31, God looked at it, everything He's created. And you have to know that this includes man here. And He says, this is very good. And this is where I'm going to get real. That you, right now, today, His creation, He made you. And He says that you are not a mistake. He says that you were made purposefully. That is the first thing you have to hear and know. That you are His beautiful and wonderful creation. He made you just as Adam and Eve, and it is good. It seems like such a simple truth, but this is something that so many of us need to hear. And it is truly something that is at the beginning of the Word of God, that He made you, that He made you with purpose, and He loves you. So I want you to wrap your head around that first. Know that. So we're going to go ahead, though, and turn to the next chapter, Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. We're going to look at what happened next. As I said, there's a lot of verses in between there. Please read them. But we're going to read 15 through 17. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" So God made man. He puts him in this Garden of Eden. And God says, "Adam, you are now to take care of my land, everything that's in it." And then God gives His first command to man. He says, you can eat from any tree that you want. All that you see here is yours, but you must not eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it wasn't just because it was some parent that's just saying, well, why can't I eat from it? Because I told you so. No, he gives a reason. He flat out says, because if you eat from this tree, you will certainly die. That doesn't seem too hard, right? That's the first commandment God gives. So you have this place that you live. God says, buddy, all of this is yours. You get to have it, but I want you to follow me. I want you to obey me. Show your love for me by doing what I ask. And what I'm asking from you is, do not eat from this tree here. And I know some people are instantly going, oh, all I want to do is eat from that tree now. That's exactly what he told me not to do. It's the big red button. Don't press the big red button. But I want to press it. It's so big and red. What happens when I do it? I'm going to die. Will I die? Is that really going to happen? Well, Adam was a human as well, and I'm sure it crossed his mind over and over again. But God told him, don't do it, or you will die. And think about that. You're in the beginning of creation with God. God says, don't do this or you're going to die. That sounds horrible. I think I'd rather not do this. Because the truth is, if you have a chance to not die or to die, you're going to choose, well, you know what? I'd rather not die. That sounds great. I'm going to go ahead and keep living this perfect place, this perfect life with God. And if you keep reading chapter 2, we get to see all about how woman was made, how women came into the world because Adam needed a partner. And it says it was beautiful and wonderful, just like women are. By the way, it's close to Valentine's Day. Men, you can use that one. Say, hey, God made women beautiful and wonderful just like you. It's free. You can have it, okay? You're allowed to have that one. But picture it now. You're in a place with no pain, no sorrow. You're walking with God. You're with him all the time. You know how right now you want to ask God for guidance and you go to God and say, God, what am I supposed to do in my life? Well, Adam and Eve could literally go up to him and talk and say, hey, God, right here. So what are we supposed to do with this? And he'll give you answers. You have this beautiful place with no sin, no shame. You have a great job. You get to take care of the garden. It's a wonderful thing. You're in charge. And you get to do this all with an amazing spouse. I hear this and I'm like, sign me up. I'm in. Let's do it. That sounds fantastic. But we need to know that there's no way that this is going to last forever. And we're going to read where it all goes wrong. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 3, 1 through 13. Genesis 3, 1 through 13. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So what we see is that Adam and Eve, flat out, they didn't listen. Yes, the serpent lied to Eve. You have to know that. Yes, he lied to her. But Eve knows what God has commanded her to do. She knew that she was commanded not to eat from that tree, and she did it anyways. And of course, Adam's very next sin, because he ate the fruit as well, his first sin after that is to blame someone else. She did it. It's her fault. She gave it to me. I know. I can't believe you gave me this horrible woman. Okay, no, that he totally flat out blames someone else for his sin. And God's like, no. I told you, Adam, as well, to not eat this fruit. And you ate it. Adam chose sin as well. But let's get one thing straight here. Because Adam and Eve, they get a really bad rap. You think about Adam and Eve and you instantly go, way to go, guys! You are literally the worst people on earth because you've ruined everything. The way it was supposed to be has been changed because you didn't listen. But you have to have that question. How long were they actually in the Garden of Eden? How long did they go before they gave in to their temptations? We read this story as a whole and we look at it and we can read all of creation and things that happened and we're like, okay, so it just happens one thing after another. So it feels instant that it was like instantly, okay, well, the next day they went out and they ate the fruit and that was a bad thing for them to do. But the truth is, was it a week? Was it a year? Was it a millennium? Was it millions of years? We have no clue how long they followed God's commands. And as people, we think, well, you know what? If I had it all, it doesn't matter. I could last forever, for an eternity. I would never have messed up because it was perfect and I wouldn't ever go against God. I'm just going to give this look right here. Really? Come on. You think you would have lasted for all eternity without pushing the big red button? I think eventually we all would have given in. When you really think about it and those things that you say, but I need it. I need to know. I have to figure out what's happening here. We all want to press the big red button. You're definitely going to fall into sin. You're going to want things from this world that will not sustain you, and we're going to fall away from God. But think about it this way. Even those that know who Jesus Christ is and you're following God and you're close to Him and you can feel His presence, you can feel Him moving in your life and you know He's right there with you, we still all eventually fall into our sins. But we need to know that He's not done with you because you've sinned. Now, because of them eating from the tree that God commanded them not to, they are cursed. They are cursed with sin. Their decisions brought the sin upon them, and so it changes everything. And so here comes the pain. Here comes the grief. Here comes the guilt. You think you have a lot of guilt for your sins? Imagine being the ones who literally screwed it all up for all of creation. Think about the ones that actually got to stand next to God and God said, well, now you can't be with me because I can't be around your sin. And I love how Adam and Eve react because it is so silly. It's like little kids. Adam and Eve, what do? They hide from God among the trees. Let me just say that one more time. They thought they could hide from God in a tree. That is one of the silliest things I've heard. It's like that little kid that did something wrong, and what do? They go and hide behind the furniture, but their feet are sticking out the back, you know? Or you have that kid that did something wrong, and so they're in their shame and their guilt, they run away, and they jump on the bed and cover up with a blanket, and there's this giant lump in the middle of the bed there. You cannot hide from God. He knows what was happening. He knew what was going on. He wanted to hear it from their mouths. But we have the same mentality, though. So we think, well, I messed up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide from God. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and stay away from church. You know what I'm going to do with my Christian friends? I don't want them seeing what I've done. I don't want them feeling that I'm being condemned by them because they don't like what I'm doing. So I'm going to hide from other Christians. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to avoid Christian music because it makes me feel bad. Well, why do we do this? It's because of the guilt and shame that we'll have to face when we look at our sin. But you have to know the truth is when you sin, do not run from God. Run to God. That's the worst thing you can do is run away from God when you're sinning. You are to run to God. Run to the church. This is not a place for perfect people. It's a place for the broken. When you're feeling down and out, don't say, well, I'm just too evil to be here. No, you're going to fit right in. Do not hide from people who are going to keep you accountable. They are called to love you and help pick you up when you fall. Do not avoid worshiping God. When you go to Him in praise, it will bring you into His presence so you can be open and honest with Him and say, God, you're a good God, even though I am not a good person. We have to go to God. And if you keep reading chapter 3, you can see that Adam and Eve, they are now kept from living forever. They're no longer allowed in the Garden of Eden, and they're not allowed to eat from the tree of life. It says that there is a tree in the garden that gave them life. But you have to know that this wasn't a big punishment. Too often we see death as a horrible and terrible thing. But think about it from the perspective of Adam and Eve. They used to have perfection. They used to have God always right there with them. And now because of their sins, they no longer can have that. And now they live in this imperfect world. Now imagine if you're living in this imperfect world was forever. Imagine having to live in this world with this imperfect body, the pains, the troubles, forever. What if every imperfect person never died on this earth? That sounds like a nightmare to me. Death truly is a blessing. It's a blessing because this to be in this perfect world then with God. When you're living this life and you choose God and Jesus, it says that you will be made new. You will have new bodies. You will be in a new creation. It's almost like a do-over. But we need to follow Him and accept Him now. And then death is bringing us back to that perfection. But we need to look at one more thought process and aspect. Adam and Eve had God in the garden, right? So He was right there with them. He was leading them, teaching them, showing them. But what about when they were kicked out of the garden? So they've sinned and God said, you can't be here anymore. I need you to go. It's something that we have to do with the separation. They were kicked out. So does that mean God was done with them? It's over, right? No more God. No, that's not how it worked out. If you keep reading into chapter 4, we see that God is still with Adam and his family. God is still for them, still leading them, still teaching them. God is there for Adam's children. And that includes the first murderer, who is Cain. Even after Cain kills his brother Abel, God protects Cain. He helps him. Man, the Bible is messy. And I always find it so amusing when people think that, you know, well, God and the church and the Bible, it's all for perfect people, full of perfect people. And I just like, nope, you didn't even read the first four chapters of the Bible then, because the first four chapters, it was like, it's great for about one chapter. And then boom, everything explodes because people were involved now. From the very beginning, we're a mess. But that's the point of the Bible, is that God's saying, I love you, I'm going to pursue you and help you all the way through. Adam and Eve, the ones who brought sin into the world, they were loved by God. They were used by God. They were imperfect people. But God never gave up on them. As we go throughout this series, we're going to look at many different people who are known as heroes of the Bible. People that were so loved by God. People who did amazing things in His name. But also, how these people, they were imperfect people like you and me. Actually, some of the stories that we're going to look at, we're going to look at that and say, they were loved by God and they loved God. Their actions did not reflect it. Some of these things are horrible things. That's because we're imperfect people. So that brings me my challenge to you today. It's this. God wants to use you. He wants to take this imperfect person and use your life to glorify God. As you leave here today, ask God how your imperfections can help change the world in His name. And I always say to people, if you have struggled, whatever that struggle was and where you've fallen short, those past sins that you struggled with, you need to use that story to help other people. And I like to tell people too, the truth is, if a sinner like me, John Thomason, I can be saved, there's hope for you. You're going to do great things. But take those past sins and give hope to other people and say, yeah, I struggled with this and I do these things and I still struggle with these things and God still loves me. It's not that you're down and out, because God loves all of us imperfect people. So as you leave here, think about how you can use those things that make you imperfect and show others how God is good through those things. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your words. The Bible is an amazing tool that we can look back on and see we have failed since the beginning. And even though that we have fallen short and we have messed up a lot in our lives, you still love us. You're still there for us. You're still a good God that says, I want you and I want the best for you. I pray that as we leave here, we can go and just let everybody know that, yes, we are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And He loves you. We love you and we thank you. For it's your name I pray. Amen. So we're now going to have that time of invitation. And we talked all about God. We talked all about the beginning and the creation. And I said they're made in our likeness. And that is Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. And it's because this was something that was planned from the beginning, that we would need to be saved. Jesus was there. And as we go through and you read through God's word, we realize that Jesus is God's Son. He died for us also that we could be saved. If you're saying, you know what, I need to know more about Jesus. I need to hear more about this. I want you to reach out to us. Let us know. Because we want to talk to you about what He has done. How amazing He is. If you're saying, you know what, I understand who Jesus is, but I want to follow Him. So what's the first step I need to do? Jesus said that we all need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's that Trinity again. To go in that water, confess with your mouth. To go under. To come out new and washed clean. Or maybe you're saying, I just need prayer. There's so much going on in my life. I need someone to talk to God with me, for me, whatever it is, because I'm not strong enough to do it. I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure where to start. We want to pray with you. Prayer is powerful. It's an amazing tool. Reach out to us online.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.